Today I want us to think about personal evangelism. Personal evangelism. It was requested by one of you that whenever we would take a break next time from our current series in Ephesians, that this topic would be thought about. Personal evangelism, sharing God's word with others. As disciples of Christ, we should be very, very concerned about those who don't know the Lord as their Savior. And we ought to be just as concerned about those who think the Lord is their Savior, although they are not obedient to His word. I have a passage here in 1 Timothy to kick things off, verses 1 through 4. It says, "Therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth." As disciples, we need to have the same kind of concern that our God has. Is God concerned about those who are lost in sin? Does God have compassion and love for them? Does God want them to be saved? How about this? Is God more concerned about them than we are? We read in Matthew 11, Jesus saying, "Come to me, all you who labor or heavy laden, I will give you rest." John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." 2 Peter 3:9, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Does God invite all mankind to come to the Savior? Who all does God love? If God is so concerned for all of humanity that God took on flesh and lived and died and was resurrected again so that we may be saved, shouldn't we also be concerned about folks? Is God ever pleased when a person who's made in the image of God dies in their sin? Do we have the same mindset as the Apostle Paul in Colossians chapter 4 here? It says, "Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the word, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak." Paul really gives us some great insight tucked in here into what our focus should be as disciples of Christ here. Right? First, we should be devoted to prayer. In particular, we should be praying for the conversions of others. We should be praying for opportunity to teach others, to reach out to others. Do we pray to God on a regular basis or with any kind of regularity for evangelistic opportunities? Do we ask God that their spiritual eyes be opened? 2 Corinthians 4:4. Do we pray that God helps them come to their senses, escape the snares of the devil, and be set free? 2 Timothy 2. To give them hearing ears? Matthew 13. To send the right people into their lives? Matthew 9. To provide ways to build caring relationships? To give us boldness? To give us opportunities to have spiritual conversations? Next, we're subtly reminded here that the gospel is for all. Paul mentions the mystery here in verse 3, the mystery of Christ. That mystery is what Paul had written back about in Colossians chapter 1. Among other things, the mystery is preaching the gospel to Gentiles. And so if you boil that down, in other words, the gospel is for all. That's the whole point. We shouldn't hesitate to share the gospel with anyone. People of every economic status, of every color, of every nation, every one of them need Jesus. Jesus wants every last one of them to have an opportunity to hear the gospel. Next, we also learn from Paul here to be conscious of God, whatever our circumstances may be. As Paul wrote this letter here to the Colossians, he was in chains. He's in prison, right? But think about this. Did Paul believe that he'd been abandoned by God or victimized? Not at all. Instead, Paul just asked for open doors. Even from prison, Paul's focus is on ways to teach the lost. And even in prison, Paul trusted that God could use him to reach others. He saw God's providence even in his circumstances. God can and does use our circumstances for reaching people with the gospel. We need to remember that God can do amazing things. Next, we learn from Paul, we should be thinking about our presentation, right? We should be concerned for and working on how to communicate to others. Paul in verse 4 says, I may make it manifest how I ought to speak, right? His desire was that he can get a message out there that somebody can grab hold of, right? That he could relate a message that could be shared and digested by people, right? It's the message that sets us apart from others. And what that really means is that our confidence shouldn't be in our methods, our talents, our good works, our buildings, or whatever, right? It should be simply communicating the truth of God's word, focusing on it first, and then trusting it to do what it'll do. That's the way Paul was. That's why he was so bold in teaching others. He cared for lost souls like God does. He knew that everyone was a candidate for salvation. He prayed for opportunities. He was ever mindful of God and his providence. And with all of that, right, and all that base, Paul wanted to make sure he communicated the truth. That's the job. Which leads us to our next line of thought here on personal evangelism. We'll come back to our job in a moment. Right, but we need to think about something else for a moment. I want us to think about God. I want us to think about the God in whom we're trying to teach others about. I want us to think about God's part in saving others for a moment. I think doing so, it may help stimulate us to trust in the power of God and his word even more than actually use it. In Matthew 1, 21, it says, and he shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save people from their sins. Hebrews 7:25, therefore he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. When it comes to lost souls, what part do we really have? I want you to think about it. What part do we really have? Who is the person who's actually able to do the saving? Think about the time when you were saved, right? Did some man or woman save you, or did Jesus Christ save you? 1 Corinthians 3, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Who's the only person who can give the increase? It's God. What are men such as Paul and Apollos really able to do? Men can plant, men can water. It's God that's behind the growing. Acts 2:47, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Who's the one who adds to the church? Can a preacher or some other person make a person? Can they make that person a part of the body of Christ? Or is that something only God can do? It's something only God can do. Matthew 16:18, and I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Who's the one who builds the church? God saves. God gives the increase, God adds, God builds. Therefore, whose responsibility is it to save souls? Whose job is it to save people? You and I can't forgive sins. Can we cleanse a person's heart and make them clean on the inside? Can't do it. We can't bring a dead person to life, right? We can't give a dead person life. Unsaved people, they're spiritually dead. You and I can't change that. That's not our job. We can't open the eyes of the blind. The Bible tells us unsaved people are spiritually blind. They can't see and they can't understand. Who's the only person? Who's the only being who can turn turn on the lights in that sin-darkened heart of man? Who can give health to a sin-sick person? Only the Lord. Only the Lord can make a person healthy and whole on the inside. He's the only one who can heal you. I can't save. I can't forgive sins. I can't give a person life. I can't open the eyes of the blind. I can't heal the sin-sick person. I can't do any of those things. Does that mean that we should just sit around and not do anything? No. No, because there is one thing we can do. One thing that we must do. We must point people to the one who can do those things. God can do all of those things. Why wouldn't we point them to him? Our workload is pretty simple here. We just have to share the word. God wants us to be the pointer. He wants us to be the arrow, right? And why wouldn't we point others to God, knowing what God can do? Why wouldn't we point others to his word, knowing its power? Jesus wants his disciples to be teaching others the word. It's a simple job. All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go, therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things that I have commanded you. Mark 16:15. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So again, let's coming back to our task now. Right? We thought about our task and we thought about the God we're pointing them to. Let's come back to our task a little bit more in depth here. We thought about how God wants folks to be saved, and we should too. And we thought about all the work that God does in saving people. But we need to think about just how very important it is that one simple task is that we've been given of teaching others. Paul puts it this way in Romans chapter 10. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Now, when he says preacher there, don't say, oh, well, you're the preacher. We're all supposed to be preaching, right? Can a person believe in Christ if they've never heard of Christ? Well, duh, right? Obviously not. Can a person put their faith in a Savior that they know nothing about? Obviously not, right? Can a person believe the gospel if they've never heard the gospel? That's what Paul's saying in this verse. He's asking, the answer is no. How about the people that we know that are religious? Will they ever learn that their religious deeds and actions mean nothing if they're not actually doing what God has commanded us to do in order to be saved, unless we tell them otherwise? No. If they think they already have God, they'll never know otherwise unless we tell them. It's a very simple thing, but sometimes we just get this mental block, like it's just so much effort. No, it's just sharing the word. The word will do what it's going to do. So suppose a billionaire put an ad in the newspaper, right? Because they still print some of those some places, right? Put an ad in the newspaper. I'll give $1,000 to every person who sends a letter to the following address. For those in need of money, and who's not, right? That's some good news. You're going to get $1,000. Will that do you any good for if you don't get the paper or read the paper, right? Can a person take advantage of an offer that they've never heard of? Well, no, right? Can a person receive a gift if they don't even know that there is such a gift? Well, are there people in the world who've never really heard the whole gospel? Yeah, right? Are there people in the world who think they've heard the gospel, but what they really need is someone to teach them the truth? Yeah. If people are going to hear God's good news, then there must be someone speaking it to them. There must be someone who can teach them about God and his word. And that's because that is the way that God has decided things should be. Think about this for a moment. I mean, God is God. God could write the gospel message in stone, you know, like with the Ten Commandments type of thing. I mean, he could even write it in large letters across the side of a mountain or on every mountain, right? He couldn't drive down 68 without reading God's word. He could put it everywhere, right? You know, God could speak down the message from heaven, right? We could walk out of this building, all we'd hear is God reciting God's word, right? And you'd hear it 24/7. People all over the world could hear God's voice speaking directly from heaven. God could have angels as ministering spirits go throughout the world and proclaim the good news. God could do any of those things, all of those things, and so many more things that we couldn't even begin to imagine. But God has a certain particular plan for spreading his good news. God wants grateful, saved sinners who live out the faith to be the ones teaching. That's what God has chosen. Teaching others is what we signed up for when we came to God to be saved. So let's transition one more time here as we bring this thing to a close. I want to think about some examples, very simple examples from the Bible, examples from the Bible where Jesus and some others might have saved the lost, examples that might help inspire us. Again, and we can see the word being very simply used, yet powerfully working. We'll start with Jesus and Nicodemus. That takes place in John chapter 3. Nicodemus comes to Jesus because he knows that God has to be with Jesus, and that's because Jesus is working miracles. Jesus is doing certain things that draws attention to himself. Now, with us today, how can people perceive that we are the people of God? Well, the Bible tells us all over the place. If we live out our lives in line with God's word, if we really stick to doing it, we're going to stick out. They're going to ask questions. Now, Nicodemus He was a religious fella, right? Religious man. He was one of the leaders of the Jews. But Jesus knows that there's a difference between being religious and being saved. And so that's why Jesus simply tells Nicodemus that Nicodemus has to be born again. That's something's going to have to happen. That's something we all have to do, though. Sometimes we think religious people, listen to this, sometimes we think that religious people know and understand why they do what they do. They should know, but they may not know. In fact, most of them never really think about why they do what they do. That's just where they've always gone. That's just what they've always done. Nicodemus didn't understand the new birth, so Jesus has to explain salvation to him. What must a person do to be born into God's family? What must a person do to inherit eternal life? Religious people need to believe what God's word actually says, as written in its own context, and we need to be the ones to let them know. The next example, Jesus and the woman at the well in Samaria, the Samaritan woman, right? Jesus comes to the city of Samaria. He sat down to rest at the well, John chapter 4. It's noon. It's hot. Jesus is very tired, worn out from his journey. Along comes a woman that a typical Jewish man, who is Jesus, would have never spoken to. Never spoken to. But even though Jesus is weary, he talks to her, asking her for water. Now, here's the thing. Jesus knows that the very act of speaking to her, just acknowledging that she is alive, is going to start a conversation. Right? That's what it's going to. And he does that even though he's exhausted. I mean, if we'd have been Jesus on that dry, hot day, we'd say, you know, I'm so tired, right? All I care about is resting. Disciples are getting me some lunch. I'm waiting for a nice, cool glass of water out of this well. But Jesus was more concerned about this woman's soul than those things. So Jesus just simply started a conversation. Someone with someone who was very, very different than him. The cultural issues between Jews and Samaritans cannot be overstated. And so here again, we're reminded, gospel is for all, right? We can't ignore sharing the message just because someone's different than us. It's just talking to someone who's different than us automatically opens doors because they're not used to it, right? Now next, Jesus speaks about having something for her, right? And so he lets her know, right, that there's better things to be had in this life. That's something that we need to focus on too. We need to let folks know that we have something that's better. We have a better way for them to live. Of course, Jesus also revealed her sin to her. That's a tough one for us, but people need to hear the truth. If they don't have sin pointed out to them, then what would they want to be saved from, right? They have to be taught that they have a need. Another example from the Bible, Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, right? God directed Philip from the crowds that he was teaching and sent him to talk to one man who's traveling in the wilderness. This would be like a fisherman leaving nets with hundreds of fish in them, instead grabbing a fishing pole and headed to a little pond to catch one fish. I mean, that's what he's got Philip doing. And so it's a reminder that the important thing, it's not just how many people you and I talk to. The important thing is that we speak up because we might just be the right person in the right place at the right time. We've got the right message talking to somebody who's actually going to listen. God knew what he was doing when he sent Phil over to the Ethiopian. This man's sitting in a chariot, though. Think about the scene there. He's reading the Bible, right? Philip ran right up to him and said, hey, he asked a pretty simple question. You understand what you're reading? Well, you know, what's it say to you, right? I mean, who would be able to help this man understand? The Ethiopian was reading, of course, we know from Isaiah 53. Philip started right there, taught him about Jesus. And there's a very simple lesson from Philip, right? If we're going to help people come to know the Lord, we now know the scriptures also, right? We got to understand the scriptures in order to teach them. The more we know, and it's worth the work. The more you know, the more effort you put in to understand the Bible and apply it to your life, the better you're going to be at sharing it. And why wouldn't you want to be good at that? Right? The more we know the Lord, the more likely we are to ask others if they understand it. And from there, I should be able to help. And the final one we have to think about is Paul and Silas and that Philippian jailer. Paul and Silas arrived at the city of Philippi. It wasn't long. They're arrested. They're stripped of their clothes. They're beaten, right? They're thrown in the jail. They're in the inner prison. They're fastened in stocks, right? And I don't know about you. I think if that was me, I could have been crying, right? Crying for mommy, right? So complaining, grumbling, worried. What's going to happen next? What do Paul and Silas do? Because they're followers of God and his word. They have a prayer meeting and a song service, right? Paul and Silas acted in a way that unsaved people would never act. The other prisoners had to have known, had to really wondered what was going on. They knew that something was different about those guys. Those men belonged to the living God. And it's a reminder, when believers are living right, God will do wonderful things. If we're living right, God will give us opportunities to talk to people about Christ. Because Paul and Silas behaved differently, that jailer wanted to know more. And him and his family were saved before the night was up. Our God is very concerned about the salvation of our fellow man. That's demonstrated in the sacrifice of Christ. You can't give up any greater thing than that. The sacrifice of Christ alone tells us how concerned he is, let alone all the passages we read. And God has chosen us to share his word with our fellow man. That means that we must be willing to speak to them, to care about them enough to see that they be saved, that they at least have heard. That we must be, you know, learning his word, so we'll be confident in sharing it with them. And we must be truly living according to his word ourselves. We must live out lives that inspire others to wonder why we live that way. If they see us living it out, it'll afford us opportunities to teach them. Let's make sure as we leave here this morning, let's make sure that we're right with Christ. If you've become a child of God, if you've been forgiven of your sins, but you're not faithful, make sure you become faithful again. Get right with God. If you're not a child of God, become one, and then tell people about the great salvation you have in Christ. All the things that God did for you, they can have also. Let us leave here and have the resolve to put in the effort to share God's word with others. Let us stand and sing.